All right. God bless you guys. Good morning. Well, you look good. Thank you for being here today. If you haven't been with us for the last few weeks, couple of weeks, we have been talking about a new message series called MySpace. And I've sort of used first Sunday, if you missed it, you missed free hula hoop Sunday. Everybody got a free hula hoop. And I've even heard many of you are tripping over them in your house. They're out in the family room. They're in the way. And that's exactly where they should be. They should be right out in your grill, sort of reminding you that you carry this with you, that this represents the space you're responsible for, the space that only you can change, the space that you reject or invite things into. And we've talked about just sort of the different ways in which faith affects that space, and today we're going to be talking about our minds. So if you ever take the time to think about how prevailing our conversations are about our minds, it might help us connect with how important our thoughts actually are. So I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if you've ever used any of these expressions. It's in the back of my mind. You ever use that one before? All right, how about you have to bear in mind? Use that one. That brings to mind something I wanted to tell you because it just crossed my mind. I'm going to give that guy a piece of my mind. You know, I have a half a mind to walk out of this service if he doesn't start talking about something else. But that's the last thing on my mind, because I like to practice mind over matter. But then it slips my mind, because somebody helped me take my mind off of it. And then that's a big load off my mind. We're smart, though, to talk about our minds that much, because it hopefully helps us understand how important our thought life is to the successes or the failures of our life. This is a really, really easy topic for me to talk about. As a matter of fact, it was so, so hard for me to put together a message that I could fit into 25, 30 minutes because I'm so absolutely passionate about it, because this is an area that I personally struggle with every single day, and that's making sure that my thoughts line up with the priorities of my space. My marriage, my money, my kids, my parenting, my job, everything that I do and everything that I care about are deeply impacted. As a matter of fact, the very foundation of almost every belief that I have and every action that I take is based on my thoughts. Do you know that studies show that we have 12,000 to 60,000 thoughts a day? Now, the reason that number varies so widely is because we aren't really able to determine where one thought ends and another thought begins. And for me, actually, to move my hand like this as I'm talking, we can't really know, is that a voluntary movement or is it just sort of an involuntary movement? And there must be a thought associated with it because your mind must be thinking to do those kind of things. And so at, let's say, just an average estimate of 40,000 thoughts a day, convert those into dollars, that would be $40,000 a day. We'd all be very pleased to have $40,000 a day, right? So then think about this. If you had $40,000 a day, what would you do with that money? You would have so much influence and so much power. You could change lives, including your own. Think of what you can do with 40,000 thoughts a day. You think you can change your life that way? Now, here's what's discouraging. They believe that 90 to 95% of the thoughts that we have, of those 40,000 to 60,000, somewhere in there, tens of thousands of thoughts that we have a day, they believe that about 95% of those are repetitious thoughts, thoughts that we think every single day. Well, that can be discouraging because another statistic says that about 80 to 85% of what we think is negative. So I want you to think about this. Of the 95% of thoughts that are not original, you just keep thinking them over and over and over again, 8 out of 10 of those thoughts are negative. So my question is, do you think that your thoughts, those negative thoughts over and over and over and over again, are impacting your space, impacting your marriage, impacting your money, impacting your relationships, impacting your mental and emotional health, impacting your spiritual health? Of course they are. It's a battlefield that takes place. There's tens of thousands of little battles that go on in our heads. And the sad part is we lose almost all those battles. So you and I, as followers of Christ, have to believe that there's something accessible to us, something that we can have in our lives that does not concede defeat in our thought life. And the answer is, you're absolutely right. You and I have to ask the question, how do we begin to win the battles in the battlefield of our mind? Grab your notes if you don't already have them out. You can open up your Summit Church app and you can take notes in there as well. If I want to win in the battlefield of my mind, I have to, number one, I'm going to use some more expressions that maybe you've heard before, lose my mind. Now, some of you may be old enough to remember the Vietnam War. Maybe you fought in the Vietnam War. Maybe you had a father, a brother, a relative, someone who fought in the Vietnam War. I bring up that war specifically because it was a very, very complicated battle. It was on the news nightly, and maybe you weren't in the war, didn't have a relative, but you were old enough to see the news. And for all of us who are maybe a little bit younger, I was just born when the war was ending. But I remember hearing about it. I remember being taught about it. And there was sort of a narrative that we wanted to believe about that war, and it was believed that we won the Vietnam War. And that was really based on the number of casualties on the U.S. side versus the number of casualties for North Vietnam. But in reality, almost all experts say we really didn't win the war, because if you don't remember what it was about, we had gone into South Vietnam to help protect South Vietnam from North Vietnam and China expanding communism throughout Southeast Asia. Here's how we know we lost that war. Because Vietnam, Laos, and Cambodia were all communist by 1976, 3 years after the war ended. We didn't achieve what we set out to achieve. And here's what almost everyone agrees on. We didn't experience the same kind of success in Vietnam as we did in, say, World War II, which was definitive. There was a purpose. We accomplished that purpose, and it transformed the world after that. Here's why. Because the U.S., the military leadership could not adapt to a new way of doing warfare. They kept using old tried and true methods that they believed in. And when they saw that they were failing, they didn't change and adapt. What they did was they doubled down and they threw more young lives at that. And all they became successful at doing is losing more 18-year-old, 19-year-old young men in battle because they could not adapt. Pridefully and stubbornly, they refused to leave their old ways. An 18-year-old out in the bush understood what generals off in D.C. could not understand. It's that they had to change the way that they were doing battle. Listen to what this passage of scripture says in Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. It's in your notes. It's on the screens beside me. And of course, it's in your Bible if you want to look it up. You were taught to leave your old self. As followers of Christ, the whole premise of that is to leave behind your sinful self. This means that you must stop living the evil way that you lived before. That old self gets worse and worse because people are fooled by the evil they want to do. In other words, bad ideas seem like good ideas when you're doing bad ideas. You must be made new in your hearts and what? In your thinking. Because we all know our hearts are just muscles that involuntarily work, right? But we say that's the center of our thinking. Be that new person who was made to be like God, truly good and pleasing Him. Listen, if you want to keep losing battles, keep thinking like you used to do before you were a follower of Jesus Christ. But if you want to begin to win battles, you have to lose your mind. Stop thinking the way that you've always thought before. I love the way that the Living Bible says Proverbs 3, 4 through 5. If you want favor with both God and man, you want to get in good with both God and man, you want to do things right by God and man, and you want a reputation for good judgment, that's using your head, and common sense. How uncommon has common sense become, right? That we have to print things on every label, like do not ingest, do not eat, this is not a toy. On plastic bags, it's printed, this is not a toy. There was never a time in my life, no matter how old I was, that I misunderstood a plastic bag to be a toy. But apparently, generationally, we're getting less bright, apparently, okay? If you want a reputation for good judgment and common sense, then trust the Lord completely. Don't ever trust yourself. In other words, you want to be known for really good thoughts? Don't do any of it on your own. Use the mind of God to think. I like that. Number two is this. If I want to win in the battlefield of my mind, I have to, number two, change my mind. We've all used that expression. Well, I changed my mind. Did you change your mind about that? Are you going to change your mind about that? Some of our greatest defeats in our mind happen because of what thoughts we allow in. But listen, more importantly, what thoughts we don't kick out. Thoughts come in all the time. Terrible thoughts come in all the time. Those really aren't a great threat to you if you know how to respond to all of those threats. If you know how to respond to those thoughts, but you get to decide in the space of your mind, I get to decide what camps out here, what lives with me in here. And if I have thoughts that make their way in, think about this for just a second. I'm a homeowner, and many of you are too, but if you don't own a home, you probably rent a home, or you're renting an apartment, or you have a place of your own. Now, somebody just uninvited walks through your front door. They plop down, they roll out their sleeping bag, and they're intent on stealing your stuff, stealing your spouse, taking your kids, taking your money. How long would you let that person stay there? Not long. You'd use all the force, all the resources. You'd call in help. You'd do everything you could to make sure that that threat left your home immediately. And then you would secure your home in a way that nobody could ever do that again. How many times have you let a thought into your mind and it just stayed there and it camped there and it got roots there and it rolled out its sleeping bag and it set up a little campfire in the middle of your mind and it started roasting marshmallows and you just found that it was now a permanent resident and now it's got a camp of friends around it. It's infected and affected all your other thoughts. You know that happens, right? Happens to me all the time. I start off with the worst case. What's the worst thing that could happen? I don't ever think, what's the best case scenario? Actually, I do. That's why I get hurt all the time. A family in the church invited all the staff to their home last night, and their son asked, hey, Pastor, do you want to get on a dirt bike and ride the dirt bike? And I was like, no, I don't think I should. Because I'm like, it always goes super well in my head. I was like, this is going to be awesome. I'm going to show up. I'm going to be jumping stuff. And then I just go, you know what? If tomorrow weren't Sunday, I said, if I had a week to be in the hospital, I'd probably do it. But I don't have that kind of time. Listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians 10:5. We are demolishing arguments and ideas, every high and mighty philosophy that pits itself against the knowledge of the one true God. Not knowledge about necessarily who God is or what God's done, but the knowledge that God puts in us to respond in our marriages, in our money, in our parenting, in our relationships, in our emotional, physical, and spiritual health. The knowledge that we retain from being in proximity to God's Spirit. It says, we are taking prisoners of every thought, every emotion, and subduing them into obedience to the Anointed One. You see, the thoughts are already there in our minds. You have to decide what you're going to do with them. You have to change those thoughts. You have to walk around the space of your mind and go, does this help me reach my highest and best in Jesus Christ? Does this help me accomplish the promises and the future that God's created me for? Or is this standing against me in success in my marriage, success in my finances, success in my parenting, success in all areas of health in my life? And you're going to start identifying that 8 out of the 10 people camping out in your mind are not there for the right reasons. They're there to steal from you. Third is this. If I want to win in the battlefield of my mind, I have to, number three, open my mind. The greatest resource that all of us have as followers of Christ is the actual literal presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So we saw the movie Aladdin. And even if you've seen the animated one from years ago, you know the premise is this. It's actually based on an ancient fable of a thief named Aladdin who comes across a magic lamp. And he rubs the lamp and out comes a genie. And as the fable goes, the genie grants 3 wishes. And you can't help as you're watching this this children's entertainment, you can't help even as an adult wondering, what would I do with three wishes? Right? It's kind of like the fantasy lottery. What would I do if I won the lottery? And unfortunately, as followers of Christ, we can't help but to believe sometimes God serves that purpose in our life, and we get discouraged and disgruntled when God doesn't respond to the rubbing of the lamp. We think the Holy Spirit is our butler. He's to run errands for us. He's to help us get a car loan as we're sitting there and our credit score of 640 comes up, and we just go, come on, in Jesus' name, I pray over this car loan right now. Jesus is like, I'm not dealing with that. Think that's what I died on the cross for and gave you the presence of the Holy Spirit for, so you could ruin your credit and then rub the lamp and I fix that for you? The presence of the Holy Spirit in our life is to give us the mind of Christ. But I'm going to tell you something about the Holy Spirit. Number one, he's a person. He's not a it. He's not a poltergeist. He's not some sort of extension of God, like he's the spirit of God. He is the spirit of God, but he is the spiritual presence of God in our life that we get. He resides in us, and he is a complete gentleman who's not going to go kicking doors open in your life. In other words, wherever you have forbidden him to go, he will not go, because he respects your free will to exclude him from your thought life, from your marital life, from your dating life, from your educational life, from your belief system, from your opinions, from your politics, everything. He won't go where he's not invited to go, but where he goes, he will transform that area. The question is, do you want him to? You will always have at least an 80% loss rate in your mind if you keep your mind closed to the presence of the Holy Spirit. But when you open your mind to the Holy Spirit, he will transform the way you think. Listen to what it says in Romans 12, 2. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you. You guys, when it comes to social issues, I'm going off script a little bit here. When it comes to social issues, when it comes to the news stories that prevail, every single day, and the things that we're talking about, and the things that are being, I hate to use this expression because I don't want to sound like an old grumpy guy on my front porch going, get off my lawn. But when things are being spoon-fed to each one of us, shoved down our throats, it is an attempt to change your mind in the direction where they want you to go with that. And I'm telling you that as a follower of Jesus Christ, you've got to stop thinking like the world thinks. You've got to stop imitating. Listen, you can be compassionate, you can be loving, you can be grace-filled, you can be the most transformational person at work in your neighborhood. You don't have to be a jerk, you don't have to be obnoxious, but you don't have to conform to the way the world thinks in order to have a message of hope and grace and love and acceptance and tolerance. Jesus was famous for hanging out with terrible people. And yet he never believed what they believed. Jesus attracted tens of thousands of people and never believed what they believed. He called them to believe in him. You can be that voice to a community. You can be that voice to a world, calling people to let their minds and hearts be transformed by the grace and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Stop imitating. That was for free. You don't even have to pay for that today. Stop imitating the ideas and opinions of this culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit. That's you being changed. Your mission is to not go change the world, but you be inwardly changed and draw people to Christ through the total reformation of what? How you think. The most spiritual thing you can do is change how you think through letting the Holy Spirit into your mind. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. Fourth is this: if you want to win in the battlefield of your mind, you have to make up your mind. So if I want to win in the battlefield of my mind, I have to, number four, make up my mind. We say it all the time, I've made up my mind. I like to research things. I go on research tangents. If I go to buy anything, I've researched it for months in advance. I like to know that whatever I decide to do, it's the best thing to do. I like this passage of scripture in Philippians 4, 6 through 8. Don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled request. We talked about faith last week. Your faith-filled request before God with your overflowing gratitude. Start thanking God before he's even answered the prayer. Tell him every detail of your life. And then God's wonderful peace, I love this, his wonderful peace that transcends human understanding. In other words, when you begin to think the right way, there's going to be, listen, when you're battling and you see the battle in front of you, when David looked at Goliath, the odds were that David was going to get slaughtered because many, many, many qualified soldiers had gone before him. The difference was David put his trust in the strength of God, not in his own trust. Or not in his own strength. When you face the battles of your mind, you have to trust the power of the Holy Spirit to win those victories in your life. God's wonderful peace will transcend human understanding. You'll feel a peace about it, even though all the odds are stacked against you. Will make answers known to you through Jesus Christ. So things that you couldn't have known on your own, God will reveal those to you. So keep your what? Thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic and real. Not lies, not fabrications, not fantasy made up by the media, online, chat rooms. There aren't even chat rooms anymore. I don't know why I said that. Keep your thoughts fixed on all that is authentic and real, honorable and admirable, beautiful and respectful, pure and holy, merciful and kind. Wouldn't it be great if we could just write those things down and stick those on our dashboard and stick those on our mirror in the morning and put those everywhere? When we open up our lunch, it's right there where we just measure our day, the success of our day based on those things. And fasten your thoughts. So we fix our thoughts. We fasten our thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising him always. Making up your mind about how you'll see your spouse, how you'll see God, how you'll see yourself, how you'll see others, how you'll see your money, how you see your job, how you see your enemies, how you see the world. Making up your mind and deciding you're going to see that through the mind of Christ isn't being naive or putting your head in the sand. It's deciding that you're no longer going to give power to the enemy to control your thoughts, to defeat you with negativity. But you're going to say, God sees my spouse differently than I do. I want to make up my mind to see my spouse that way. Because do you believe that'll transform your marriage? Absolutely it will. I'm going to make up my mind to see my kids, not based on the evidence of their failures and based on the evidence of their rebellion and based on the evidence of their stupidity, the dumb choices that they're making. I'm not going to see them like that because God sees all the way to the end of their future. God sees the promises that he's going to fulfill in their life. I want to see my kids that way. That's not being naive. That's simply choosing the mind of God. I want to make up my mind. And then finally, if I want to win the battlefield of my mind, I have to speak my mind. Have you ever met someone who goes, I am not afraid to speak my mind? Do you ever notice those people never have anything positive to say? They never go, I'm not afraid to speak my mind. I love these people. They're awesome. My boss is great. I love working for them. I pray for them every single day, so deal with it. They never say that stuff, right? They've always got something negative and obnoxious to say. And then it's deal with it. Can I tell you this? When we speak out loud what is in here, we affirm that in our lives. We solidify it. We crystallize it. We make it real. We bring it out. We speak creation. God has given you and I the ability to speak life or speak death. Listen to what it says in Matthew 15, 11. What you put into your mouth cannot make you clean or unclean. So there was this massive debate among the Jews, especially those who had begun following Jesus, about what was clean, because in Judaism, if you ate certain animals, pork or shellfish, things like that, those were unclean. There was a spiritual consequence to that. God had to attach spiritual consequences to physical behaviors because he was trying to teach them to move them, their whole selves, holistically into health. They didn't have the same process as all those things to prepare meat and all those different things. So there was this huge debate whether it was spiritually unclean to eat pork or shellfish, things like that. Jesus pushes back on this thing and he says, eating a pulled pork sandwich is not what's making you unclean. It's the words that come out of your mouth that declare that you're unclean. You reveal who you are when you speak. Jesus goes, that's what makes you unclean, is when you bring into reality the evil that's in your heart. What you put into your mouth cannot make you clean or unclean. It's what comes out of your mouth that makes you unclean. That's why we secure things that are authentic and real, honorable, admirable, beautiful, respectful, pure, holy, merciful, and kind things. We make those reality when we speak those out of our mouth. You respond differently. You go, here's my thought. My thought is, I want to react negatively. I want to say something negative, but I'm going to affirm a truth different than that. I want to give life-giving truth. Your words can be as satisfying as fruit, as pleasing as the food that fills your stomach. The tongue can speak words that bring life or death. Those who love to talk must be ready to accept what it brings. That tells me that you and I create a diet for ourselves through what we speak out loud. It's what we fill our space with. This is what we eat. What we speak out is what we eat. We fill up our lives with what we produce from our hearts and our minds, over our marriage, over our money, over our kids, over our health, over our work, over our school, over our dating, over everything. We speak over it. And when we do, we create our diet in which we'll continue to feed ourselves. And I want you to hear this. No one else is responsible for filling this place up with what you're eating. If your life is negative, ask yourself this. What are your thoughts and what are your words doing to change that environment? If you feel down all the time, if you feel depressed all the time, if you feel discouraged all the time, I want to ask you something. Are you pushing back on all of that by creating an environment through your words that challenges that negativity? I'm not saying this isn't like the Oprah, Tony Robbins, just positive things. This is because you're declaring the mind and the heart of God for your life. This is speaking out truth. I'm not talking my truth. He's just speaking his truth. He's just speaking his truth. Good for you, speaking your truth. I don't have any truth. I'm evil through and through. Without Jesus Christ, I am corrupt and nothing good comes from me. But when I have the Holy Spirit in me, working on my mind, working on my heart, I'm able to declare the truths of God over my life. And I can transform my marriage and I can transform my money and I can transform my kids' lives. I can transform my work life. I can transform everything in my life because I'm speaking the truth of God over it. Oh, that deserved way better response than that. But listen, here's the great news for you. If you have conceded defeat in all of those areas of life, it is not too late to change all of that. Today, you declare in your mind and your heart that you will not concede defeat any longer, that you are going to live the truth of God in your life. You're going to think those truths. You're going to dwell on those truths. You're going to fixate on those truths. You're going to meditate on those truths. You're going to speak those truths over your life because your thoughts will transform your space. You got to make up your mind. You got to surrender your mind. You got to lose your mind. You got to give it all to God. And I promise you this, when you begin to think like God thinks, you'll have the ability to create in your life the things that God's promised you. You will lay the soil and you'll plant the seed with the truths of God in your life that will produce the kind of things in your life that you have always longed for, that you've been upset about, that you've been discouraged over because they're not materializing. You have the power today to turn that around. Because as a follower of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is there waiting for the invitation to move throughout your life and begin to transform every thought, every belief, every action, every word. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? And I want to ask you really boldly, without hesitating, if you want to begin to open every door, every window, every closet, every space to the Holy Spirit to begin to transform every thought and every word, every belief and every action, to give him permission. It's going to be uncomfortable. It might be messy, and it might take a little while because you're used to controlling all those spaces. You're used to hiding all those spaces. You're used to sheltering all those spaces. Maybe shame, embarrassment, whatever has kept you from opening those up to the Holy Spirit. I want you to know this. He already knows about all of it, and he still loves you just the same. And he can't wait to get his hands on that area of your life and begin to bring life and hope and create new things there where it's dry, barren soil. If that's you, you're ready for that kind of transformation in your life, just shoot your hand up, straight up, all over the place. Holy Spirit, you have permission to begin to move in this place, to begin to move in our lives, to begin to move in our hearts, our minds, our thoughts, and all the intimate places that we've held back, of all the secret places that we've thought we were keeping. Maybe we've been successful in keeping them from everyone around us, but we have failed to keep them secret from you. You know it all, and you passionately, desperately love us just the same, and you cannot wait to get a hold of those areas and bring new life there. We welcome you. We open every space of our life. And when we're holding back, convict us. When we're trying to reclaim that ground back, convict us. When we're trying to push you back out, remind us that you're there to love us, forgive us, help us, and grow us. You're not our enemy. All of those negative thoughts, all of those discouraging, all of those critical, all of those judgmental things that come into our hearts and minds that make us think terrible things about ourselves, about our spouse, about our kids, about our God, about everything around us that defeat us, those are our enemy. Those are the things we've given space to, that we've given permission for those things to reside. We push back on those with your loving presence and your loving power, your fierce heart to help us become who God's created us to become. We give it all to you in Jesus' name. We receive it as if it's already been done. We claim life over our families, over our minds and our hearts. In Jesus' name, everybody declared a big amen. Amen.